Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Luke 1:37. I'll let you sit down. I do want to say I appreciate Brother Frankie. Man, if God laid it on his heart to say something for somebody, I appreciate somebody that would step out and do that. Because whoever it is, man, God must care about you. Amen. Amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I do want to say this is a pretty good idea. I didn't know. They were taking up the offering, and I had my offering in my pocket, and I was worshiping when they came by, so I got to keep my money. So during the offering, if you don't want to give, just worship, and they won't leave you alone. They'll leave you alone. You get to take your money home with you. I'm kidding. I'll put it in there later. I want to talk to you a little bit about creation. I want to talk to you about where we stand on some things, what we believe, because there are so many things and so many avenues that you can go down when you're dealing with the way we look at Bible. Some people are like, I'm a Christian, but I'm an evolutionist, and I believe in Darwinian Christianism, and it's like, where in the world are we coming up with all these ideas and science and the Bible and how they all line up and all those things? I want to set your mind at ease today and tell you this, that God created it all. And I understand why Genesis 1 and 1 is under attack. I understand that, Timmy, when we were in school, it was still kind of evolution was theory. And I think it was Skylar told me the other day that one of her professors, was that right, text you and said, why is evolution universally accepted? And I said, text him back and say it ain't, because I don't accept it, and I'm in the universe. So the whole universe doesn't accept it. There is a God, and he created it all through his word. Even if you look at it logically, it doesn't work, doesn't line up. You look at it spiritually, and it really doesn't work. Amen. Secular sciences are now approaching school boards and asking them to teach something else besides Darwinianism, because the fossil records have totally annihilated the Cambrian explosion, and everybody's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Look it up. Get ready. They go through the fossil records, and they're like, well, this animal shows up here, and then they go deeper. This animal showed up here. This animal showed up here. And then they get to the Cambrian age, and they're like, wow, it looks like they all showed up at one time. Well, I think I know when that happened. I'm like, pick me. I know when they all showed up. They all showed up in Genesis chapter 1. There's your Cambrian explosion. Because when the Spirit and the Word come together, there is an explosion that takes place. Amen? All right, so I want to talk about nothing being impossible with God. Shane put my first slide up there. I want you to read this. If you're not Latin, you probably won't be able to read that. I know some of y'all, the best Latin you got is Sketty, but... What this means is creation with nothing. Creation by nothing. It's a doctrine that states that God created the universe out of nothing. Out of absolutely nothing. With no pre-existing matter, space, or time. Be really careful, because when we read this, we teach this, we say that God can make something out of nothing, and we believe that there was nothing. The next one is, here's an opposing view to this, and this is creatio ex materia. Yeah, Sketty. All right, so this is the doctrine that the universe was formed out of eternal pre-existing matter, believing that God took some pre-existing things and brought them about, and he created it with something already there. And for the longest time, I thought these were the only two views, because I had an issue with God creating something out of nothing, because the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. So I struggled with preaching it that way. I really struggle with preaching it this way, that he showed up to create and there was already some stuff there, because I don't know how you believe. I believe that Yahweh, everything proceeds from him. Everything, there's not anything made that was made that he didn't make. So if it was already there when he got there, he must have been there before, because there's no other place for it to come from. Let me tell you how awesome your God is. There is nothing that exists that doesn't exist because of him. He's the uncaused cause. He's the God that doesn't need a beginning and he doesn't have an end, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. We don't serve that we don't serve a small deity. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no greater. But there is one more view, and thank goodness I found this view, because put it up there, Shane, if you would. Everything emanates. Everything emanates from him. It's saying that the cosmos is distant from God, but instead it emanated from God. So God exists outside of time, space, and matter, but he created it because it emanated from him. I like this, because if I tell you God created something out of nothing, where did the nothing come from? There's no way the nothing could come from God, because nothing is impossible with God. It must have began somewhere. If you're bored, hang tight. It'll get better. It must have began somewhere, and that somewhere must be God. Even when you come to the conclusion that there was a big bang, you still have to have faith that there was something there to cause the bang. Amen. I'm here to tell you there was something there to cause it, and he caused it in a very specific way, and everything that was created came from him. But how did it get from him? Everybody's like, I don't know. I don't even care. He began to speak. See, God is a speaking God. And it's very important that we know that our God is a speaking God. You ever looked at your spouse or somebody and you say, hey, what are you thinking? And how many times they look back and say, nothing? Well, let's do it real fast. I want you right now to think of nothing. Try it. How's it going for you? You can't think of nothing. Can you? Can you? Because even when I tell you not to think of nothing, you're thinking about trying to think about nothing. It's like that negative thing where I tell you what not to do and you can't help but do it. Right? And then you say, well, can you create? Can you as a person create? Let's do this right now. Everybody close their eyes. Everybody close your eyes all around the room. I want you to create a new color. Brand new color in your head. What's is it new? What are you seeing? What is it? Other colors. So you got to take what's already there. How many were you seeing? Somebody tell me what color you're seeing. Watch this. Don't think about the color red. How does that happen? Look around the room and don't look at red. It doesn't work, because our mind has this certain way of doing those things. So with us, the Bible says nothing is impossible with us too. So if nothing is impossible with God, we are created in the image of God, then nothing is impossible with us too. Let me say it like this. You're never going to get to this place where you say, there's absolutely nothing going on in my life, because something is going on. Because I'm going to tell you, there are forces at struggle, and they are fighting for control of who you are, and I promise you, something's going on. Yeah. Come on. Okay, I'm past the science part. Let's get to the scripture part. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of one of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. There is nothing that you have ever touched in this universe that did not begin with Yahweh. You did not come from a cell. You came from a creator. And he brought you about in a very specific way. He brought you about through his word. God began to speak and things began to happen. And when he spoke from himself. Because in the beginning was the word. The word was. And the word. Okay, back to your spouse. Back to your, have you ever looked at him and said, hey, what are you thinking? And you really want to know what they were thinking. How are you going to know what they were thinking? They tell you with what? With words. They begin to speak. Whatever thought they had in their head, the only way that we can know their thought is through their words. So if God was thinking something, the only way we can know what God is thinking is through his word. Let me be pastoral. You got to get nervous about people that's like, well, I don't think that God would feel like puke. You don't get to think like God would feel like anything. The way you know how God feels is you read his word. Because he's already put it into words. It's not about how you feel about what you think that God would feel like. It's about his word. He's already made his thought plain. He's already put it out there. And he put it out there through his word. So God began to speak things. And the only place these things could come from is from him. Because he is the creator. Why is this so important to us? Or why did I feel the need to tell you this today? Because when we don't speak into situations, then situations cannot change. Now what we do, raise your hand if you like to complain. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you're shy about it. You don't want to raise your hand, but you really do like it. Raise. See, there's more hands. More hands. Or if the person beside you likes to complain and you know they do, raise their hand for them. See, now way more hands are going up. Sometimes we complain because it gets us through the day. Sometimes being grouchy gives us energy. Amen? I know people, I've been bossing for years. And I know there's some people, if you make them mad, they work better. So you just smart them off at the beginning of the shift and for hours, they move. God, just make him mad, he'll work harder. We talk about things. All right, be honest with me. How many people are nervous about next week? Oh, we got some honest people. Go ahead, you can tell me. You go ahead, let your feelings out. I mean, people are nervous. If you don't know what next week is, it's election day. And some of y'all are gonna be sitting around 12, 1 o'clock at night wondering, fretting. Yeah, I'm going to bed. I learned my lesson last time. I'm just going to bed and see what happens, whatever happens. There'll be recounts and it's going to be a mess. It's going to be like, you know what? That stuff used to eat me up. But I don't care anymore. Am I going to vote? Yes, I'm going to vote. So I can complain. Because if you don't vote, you don't get to complain. But if you vote, you can really complain. People's like, yeah, it's rigged anyway. I don't care. I want a reason. We got to get past that and understand that there's something bigger to all of this than what we see going on next week. I'm telling you, my joy don't hinge on what happens next week. I'm here to tell you, my peace don't hinge on what happens next week, because it's not about the elephant and it's not about the donkey. It's about the lamb, and I know everything is going to be all right. Oh, glory. Because I didn't vote for him. He voted for me. You are the elect of God. And I wasn't even running for office. He chose me. He elected me. and he put something in me. He made me in his image. I am born again. And because I am born again, I've got properties that exist in me that didn't used to exist in me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we got to stop complaining about it and start speaking to it. Oh, I want you to hear this. We got to stop talking about it and start talking to it. What do you mean? I mean, he said, nothing is impossible with you. Obedience through God's word will get you some things. Amen? You want me to prove it to you? Way down in Egypt, they're bound. They're in bondage. Moses goes in there. He's got a speech impediment. He's talking, whispering over to Aaron. Aaron's whispering. He's telling Pharaoh what's going on. It's a mess. What's going on there? But let me tell you what God can do. God can use you, but you got to be willing to speak. He said, Moses, go down there and tell him. Moses said, I can't speak Spain, Lord. I got a speech impediment. I can't speak Spain. And just things don't come out right. And it just don't work right. And he said, who made your mouth? He said, do you know who made your mouth? He said, all right, I'll work with you. But you're still going to have to tell it to Aaron. See, you got to start talking. How many people in here are introverts? Raise your hand if you're an introvert. Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're an introvert. Some of y'all are so introverted, you don't even raise your hand. How many people taught me as a kid not to talk to strangers? Most of us? Stranger danger, stranger danger. I learned songs when I was a kid. Sometimes you just got to yell and scream. Sometimes it's the only thing to do. This ain't my daddy. I mean, it was crazy stuff. Listen, you know, no stranger ever grabbed me. I was ready for him. All them years, nobody ever took me. If you've been abducted, I'm sorry. It just never happened to me. And I was prepped for it, hit and quicksand. My whole life I was prepped for it. Don't talk to strangers. You know what? We carry some of that stuff around with it, and God's like, talk to strangers. Tell the stranger about me. Tell the other person about me. Tell somebody about me. You got to speak it, man. You got to speak it. People say, well, I'm just living a life in front of them. That's great, but your life will never save them. You got to tell them about his life because his life is the only one that can save them. Your life ain't going to do anything for them, but you got to say, hey, let me tell you about the one and only qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. Let me tell you about him. You got to speak it. You got to obey it. Moses, what's that in your hand? A rod. That'll work. You don't even have to have much with you. You just got to be willing to allow the same spirit that moved in creation to move in you now through recreation. Are y'all following me? He said, stand still and see the glory of God. You know why God did that? Because God can. Gets down to the Red Sea, it is impossible to get across. You got million plus people trying to get across the sea. And I'm positive some of them couldn't swim. So all of a sudden an east wind begins to blow. And I promise you this is not coincidental. The wind begins to blow, the sea begins to part, and the Bible says they walked across on dry ground. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience. When you hear him and you do what he says, hey, it's tough sometimes. Sometimes you want to try to make it happen. Can you say amen? I got this. I can't wait any longer. You pray for patience. God, give me patience and give it to me now. Don't work that way. So you're praying and you're looking and you feel like you got to do something in whatever you're dealing with. I'm here to tell you, just let God be God because he's about to speak. And when God begins to speak, I'm telling you, his word will change things that your word will never change. Amen. Walk across on dry land. Abraham, Sarah, barren. He's getting ready to bring a nation out of this guy. Father of many. And ain't got any. Called him the father of many nations. He ain't gonna have one kid. Could you imagine that? Hey, father of many, ain't got any. He's in a mess. But God. But God begins to do things because God's able to do it. Abraham thought, I need to do this on my own. Abraham got in trouble. Hey, listen, if you don't know this, the Middle East is still in a mess because of Abraham. Them cousins over there still, they still ain't getting along. Still can't work it out. Amen? Because Abraham thought he could do it on his own. You got it. Sometimes you got to listen to the word of God and let God work it out and get it out of your system. Now, once you listen, once you hear, and once God tells you what to do, there will come a point when he says, speak to the mountain. You got a mountain? I got a mountain. I've been praying about it. I've been fussing about it. Look at y'all looking at me down your self-righteous noses. Our pastor complains. I fuss about it. I get mad about it. I get aggravated about it. I repent for getting mad about it. I tell God I trust you about it. And then I get mad about it, which shows I don't trust him. You know what I'm starting to do? Just speak to it. Why? Because God is a speaking God. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body and you speak through the spirit, something will happen. So what have you been talking about? What are we saying? Because what we say, Sister Sherry, makes a big difference to what happens. Chris Bowen told me a story one time. He said one of the guys that he worked with, he came to work and he said, man, are you all right? Boy said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, you sure? He had everybody on the crew set up to do this to this fella. He said, you sure? He said, yeah, man, I feel great. He said, man, you look, I don't know, your eyes just don't look good. Looks like you don't feel good. He went out and worked a little bit, and one of the other guys said, man, are you okay? You feeling all right? Yeah, I feel fine. Chris said they kept doing it. He said at lunch, the guy was out there in the mirror of his truck looking in his eyes. And he came back after lunch and he said, I don't feel so good. You don't think it works? Keep telling yourself you're defeated. Keep telling yourself you ain't enough. Keep telling yourself that you ain't going to make it. Keep telling yourself that the mountain's too high. Keep telling yourself, I don't know about you, but I'm done talking like that. And I'm here to tell you, the mountain may be high, but it's not too steep. The valley may be rough, but it's not too deep. The road may be hot, but I serve a God who is able to do it. If he can do it for Moses, if he can do it for Abraham, he can do it for me. Oh, glory, I think he can save your husband. I think he can save your wayward child. I think he can save he can save anybody you want him to save. Stop complaining and start talking about it. So here's how this works. Y'all ready? Here's your challenge. We're going to change the way we worship. We're going to stop making deals with God. You ever made a deal with God? God, I'll tell you what. Now, if you do this, I'll praise you. And then he does it. And then you don't do your praising. When he does it, you don't praise him because you forgot about it. So we got to stop making deals with God because you don't need to be making. Here's what we're going to do this. God, I believe you're able. And I'm not going to wait for it to happen. I'm going to praise you for it right now. And I believe it's coming. And I believe that you're going to make it happen because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're a speaking God, then I'm a speaking child. And I need to speak like you spoke. And I can cause those things that are not as though they were. And I can give you a praise no matter what's happening in my life. And I may be in the valley, but I know you're the lily of that valley. And I'm going to be all right. Ready? Let's try it. God, you're good. Somebody's adding to it already. Speak it. God, you're going to work for me. No, we're still going. God, you're going to work for me. God, I know you're able. God, you're so big and awesome. It's kind of fun. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Are you, say it like you mean it. Y'all sound like robots. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. No, say it like you're talking to him. Thank you, God, for saving me. Do you remember where you were when he saved you? Do you remember what he brought you from? Do you remember? Then you got to tell him. God, I know. I'm telling you right now, God's about to do something real big. 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 Why? He's a real big God. Oh, yeah. Come on, Aaron. Come on. I don't serve a little God. I don't serve a little G God. I serve a big G God. I still get mad when y'all text me God and it's lowercase. It's one button. Push it. Because I don't serve a little G God. I serve a big G God. They called him Yahweh in the Old Testament. He's Lord. They called him Yeshua in the New Testament. He's Savior. Oh, man. Do we understand the possibilities? Do you know who you serve? I'm not praying to a false deity. I'm not praying to an idol. I'm closing right here. They brought Dagon in the temple. They set him up. They set Dagon up in the temple. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant into that place. And the next morning, when they walked in, Dagon had fell over. And this scripture says, and they set him back in his place. Andrew, I don't need a God that I have to set in his place. I need a God that sets me in my place. If you made a God, you know, if you're Hindu, did you know this? If you're Hindu, they got like 3,000 gods. If you don't like any of the 3,000, you can make up your own. I wonder if you made a God what it would look like. I already know you. But you know what, little G God? I want you to okay everything I do. God, I want you to be okay, little me, little me, little G. That's not how this works. There's no power in that because there's only one place where power comes from. That's from the Creator who spoke it into existence, who says, speak it, speak it. I'm telling you, it'll change things. It'll change things. I thought about trying it, but I think it's just wasting time because I'm like, God, I'm just going to start speaking. My hair's going to grow back. But I mean, you know, there's some things God really don't care about. People do. They really care about it. I see them. Man, some of them try to hang on to it. I've seen the hairlines back here. It's just like, man, let it go. Let it go. Because we care about it, but there's something, you know what, that God does care about? There's a lost soul going to hell. I'm going to start talking them to it. We're going to sing a song. This is what we do at the end of every service. I know that some people needed some prayer. I want you to come up. We're going to pray with you. If somebody in your family needs prayer, we're going to pray with you. If you're in here and God's dealing with your heart, you don't have to walk out of here the same way you walked in. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to do whatever we need to do to make sure that you're where you need to be with him. Because we just didn't get here to punch our ticket to heaven. Raise your hand if you're going to heaven. We've done this before. I'm going to do it again. Raise your hand if you're going to heaven. Look around. Are we all going to heaven? Well, let's forget this. Let's go ride side by sides and play bingo. Or whatever you like to do. Why come to church every Sunday if your ticket's already been punched? Because he called you for more than that. Man, we're going to get a talking church. Starts talking to the enemy. Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If you need prayer, come on. Go ahead and sing, Aaron, because I can't stop talking today. Come on, Doug.